In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here. We want you to know that this is a special group at a special time in an unbelievably special place. And we commend you, brave souls, for the courage that has brought you here, for all the fears that you had to push through to get here, for all the weather and the hassle and the money and the time and the excuses that you had to make to be here today. And what are you going to get out of this? What do you think you're going to get out of this? Are you going to be fixed? Are you going to be rich? Are you going to meet the love of your life? Are you finally going to get it done? You're not going to get any of that. None of that's going to happen. All you're going to do is learn to see yourself from a slightly elevated perspective. And that's the only reason you're here. Not the only reason you're here in this room. The only reason you're here on this planet is to come in and to see yourself from a slightly different perspective. The only reason time exists, the only reason we have space and time in this reality, is so that you can move through space and time to see yourself a little bit differently in this moment than the last moment, to see yourself a little bit differently in this space than the last space. That's all you're doing, is learning to see who you really are, who you authentically are. The true essence of you exists in the non-physical. The true essence of you is hidden from yourself in this physical reality. You think you know who you are, but you don't. You think people know you, but they can't. But as you move along, consciously aware that there are limiting beliefs that cause you to perceive yourself in a different way than who you truly are, then you can process those beliefs. And you can say, that belief doesn't serve me. It's limiting. Let's take a look at this belief. Why do I have it? Why did I choose to adopt this belief? Because that was a choice. Why did you choose to adopt any limiting belief? So that you can process it and see yourself from a different light. So imagine now if you were able to process all your limiting beliefs. Who would you be? The authentic version of yourself. And what would happen? You transition to the non-physical, come into another life and start it all over again. Because then you get to see yourself from a different perspective. And that's all we're doing here. So, what's the benefit of seeing yourself from a new perspective? Well, you can lighten up a little bit. And if you lighten up a little bit, then this becomes more fun. And isn't fun fun? Isn't that really what's going on here? Isn't it fun to have fun? So why aren't we all having fun? All the time. Because it's so serious. Oh my God, you can't have fun when things are serious. That doesn't make any sense. Why have fun when such horrible things are happening? Oh, there's horrible things? Really? Well, from your perspective, maybe. But that's another conversation. Let's leave that for another time. So we're here to have fun. And who would like to start the fun off?
Even though I'm like really nervous, but I'll do it.
Push through that fear, girl.
Hi, Joshua. Oh, thank you.
Hi, brave soul.
Hi. How are you?
We're well.
You're thrilled to be here? Yeah. How was the travel?
It was pretty easy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Awesome. So actually, my biggest question is stemming from a manifestation event that I had this weekend. I race a lot with my girlfriends, and I've always just done it for fun, and it is really fun. This weekend, my three of my girlfriends I race with, there's five of us together that we race together, and they finished 1, 2, and 3 on the podium. But I didn't run their elite heat. I ran my open heat, and I came in 7th out of 131 or something like that. So it's not too bad. But while it was all going on, we were all excited that they finished 1, 2, and 3. And I said, you know.
Best, better, even better.
Yeah, yeah. OCR racing type of thing. So, but I was standing there watching it and taking pictures. And while I was watching it taking pictures, I'm like, God, I could totally be up there. Like, I do this. This is fun. Do I have a fear that gets in my way of allowing myself to get up there? Am I afraid of some kind of success? What was that about? Because I was like, then I was like, oh, maybe they won't want to be my friend anymore because I wasn't on the podium with them.
Or they won't want you to be your friend if you're top of the podium and they're not on the podium anymore.
That's right.
Or all of it matters and means something. And,
yeah.
Or you identify with who they are and who you are relative to them and relative to everyone else who came in above you and below you.
Yeah, maybe.
And like it matters anymore. Now it's getting serious. Before it was fun,
yeah.
Now it's getting serious.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah.
Does anything mean anything about you?
No.
Nothing means anything about you?
No.
Does what you're wearing mean anything about you?
No.
Do you care what they think of you?
No.
Do you know that they love you?
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Do you know your friends love you?
Yes, of course.
Do you know that they have their own fears?
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
And you're not responsible for their fears.
That's right.
All you're responsible for is how you feel about them.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
And if you're easy with how you feel about them, then you're easy with whatever happens. And if they're 1, 2, 3, then you can be happy for them.
Sure.
And if your number's 99, you can say you can be happy for everyone who came ahead of you.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Yeah. So none of that matters. The only thing that matters is what you feel about all of that. And your ability to let them be whoever they are in all of that. Because it's all a game. You're just playing with this idea of competition and what it means and how you're being perceived by others and how you judge yourself against the scorecard of everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can take it seriously and then be upset when things don't turn out.
Sure.
Because you think it means something, right?
Sure.
So you attach a meaning to something, it becomes less fun.
Okay.
Right? But you can also attach a meaning to, hey, I came in 7th out of 100 and some odd people. That's pretty good.
It's not so bad.
So you can feel good by the outside conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Because why are we here?
To have fun.
And to feel good.
To feel good, right.
Because all you're ever doing is feeling something.
And might as well feel good.
Might as well feel good.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
But there's a benefit to feeling good. What's that?
Increasing our vibration.
Well, you're attaching yourself to non-physical goodness up
okay.
there. And these ideas that come forth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can flow those ideas. And then feeling good allows you to congratulate your friends and
sure.
feel good for them and
yeah.
and reward them with your love and your, you know.
Yeah.
Instead of worrying about what they think about you, give that up because it doesn't mean anything. Because you have no control over that at all.
Oh, right, I don't. Right.
And so if you start choosing friends based on how they perceive you and how they react to you, well, then you're eliminating a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know?
True.
But now if you choose friends because how you feel about them, well, then you're inviting in everyone.
Sure.
Because it doesn't matter how they behave, but it matters how you choose to perceive how they behave. And that's all up to you.
Okay.
Now, if you see a type of behavior out there, and in the past you might have said, that's wrong. They shouldn't be like that. Well, you sort of cast them apart from you and make them wrong in your mind. And how you deal with them will always be from that perspective that they're doing something wrong. And so you tend to eliminate all those people who do that same thing. Push them away, push them away, push them away. And only let in the people who do what you think is appropriate. Now, if you switch that around and say, I'm in charge of what I perceive, and now I say that all behavior is right for the person, that I cast no judgment on anybody, mm-hmm. that I express my love unconditionally, which means I express my acceptance unconditionally.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. Then now you cast a very broad net, because everyone can be a part of that. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't matter who they are, what their background is, or how they behave to you, or what they think of you at all.
Right.
It only matters what you think of them. Mm-hmm. And in that power of choosing your perspective over other people, over the relationship with others, you now allow everyone to be part of your family. Hmm. And from there, you get to play with the dynamics of that. Hmm. So you're not here to be loved. You're not here to be liked. You're not here to be taken care of. You're not here to be helped. You are here to love.
Okay.
And you start all of that by loving that person.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
As yeah. you are.
So is there some kind of... So it's funny you said that. And when I was younger, academically, I did really, really well. And I, like, made it to high honors before, like, anybody else in my class. And I was alienated by my friends.
You perceived that you were.
Well, yeah. Maybe yeah. I perceived it, but, yeah, like, as early as, like, third grade. Yeah. So maybe I have a fear about that happening again. Mm-hmm. And when you were saying that, I was like,
So you have a limiting belief that you adopted as a child.
Sure.
And all of those friends played their part in it, right?
Sure, sure.
So here you are excelling, and you notice that in this excelling that other people are resentful mm-hmm. of that.
Yeah, yeah.
But what that is, what is it now? You know what that is now. You know that that was their own fear.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
As you excelled, they put you at a distance because they felt inferior to you. They felt the fear of not living up to you. They felt the fear of what you would think and what would other people would think about them wow. as they compare themselves to you. So it's their fear that you could never handle. You could never control. You could never manipulate their fear.
Yeah, no.
Right?
Right.
Even though you tried to. You tried to soothe them and whatever. Right? Mm-hmm. But eventually, they had to figure that out. That was one of their limiting beliefs. But you also adopted a limiting belief that if you excel, others will pull away.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So have you tested it out? Have you excelled?
What do you mean?
In anything since childhood.
Oh, yeah.
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 And
yeah.
some will pull away and some won't.
Right.
And those who pull away, it's their fear that you can't handle, that you can't control.
Right.
Right? All you control is your acceptance of them pulling away.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's heavy.
Well, imagine the heaviness of manipulating them from pulling away by you not excelling. You'd have to dumb things down. You'd have to be who you are not. You'd have to be the inauthentic version of you.
Okay.
That's no fun.
No, that's not fun at all.
Right. You are an accelerator.
Like a tanning accelerator.
Yeah, you're an accelerator.
Okay. So is there some kind of hallway to travel?
Yes.
While learning
Absolutely.
How to get to that?
Do what level? You do and let the chips fall where they are, where they may.
Okay.
Let the people be with their fear. You do what you do. You be who you are.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
You just be on that path of you. Excelling, 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 excelling.
Yeah.
Excel, 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 excel. Not to be good, not to have others see you as good.
No.
Not to be rewarded by people thinking you're great. Right?
No.
But just do what you were inspired to do.
Well, it's fun.
If you think it's fun, it's fun.
I think it's fun. Yeah. I do think it's fun. I've always thought it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like recently it's, you know.
Seventh is a perfect spot. To control the six above and the hundreds below,
okay.
It's the perfect spot.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now next time be six and see what happens.
All right.
Right? And then fifth and see what happens. Yeah.
Well, and the funny part about it is I actually hate this race that we ran in. It's not my favorite race to run in. And I needed to qualify in the first 10 to qualify for North American Obstacle Course Racing Championships. And I didn't even want to run the race, and I just did it anyway, and I qualified without even knowing. And so that's kind of funny, because I didn't even...
What a coincidence.
I didn't even want to run the race, but now I'm qualified, so now for the rest of the year, I can really have fun at all the races because I've qualified.
And do what you want to do. Do what you're inspired to do.
Yeah.
Race against yourself and see where you come in, and then you can look at everyone else and see what happens then.
Yeah, against myself.
Yeah. Because it's all against yourself.
Yeah,
anyway.
It totally is, but that you get sometimes.
It's the challenge of this life.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And those external people are like the mirrors of...
Without them, you can't see that you're seven worse than the top and 150 better than the bottom.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
You get to measure that.
Yeah.
That's what everyone is doing in everything they do.
Yeah.
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 But don't define yourself by it, because in essence, it doesn't mean anything.
No.
Just fun.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. But I think that when you start to excel or vibrate at a higher level, you then just naturally attract those people in and around you in your life, and so you all kind of vibrate that level, so you even increase your level of fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Fun's important to me.
Yeah, so here you are saying that these people should be my friends, and I couldn't be friends with those people, or hope to be friends with these people, or what if you just be who you're being and let whoever comes, and then say,
sure,
who's ever here I love, and who's ever not here I also love, and I'm being a being of love, and let's see what happens. Because from there you're attracting from your authentic self.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever you get, well, now you can still judge it if you want, saying that, ooh, that person was, you know, a little bit mean to me there. But that's still a mirror. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So everything is a mirror to how you're being.
Sure.
And that mirror is perceived by you. And you can perceive the mirror as wrong or right. But all it's showing you is how you're being. All you're showing you.
Yeah.
So you got to be the first up in this chair.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty fun.
That's
right?
Totally fun.
Yeah. You got to be number one. Right? So the ribbons will be handed out of the back.
Okay. Yeah.
Everyone
awesome.
From now on will know that you're number one.
Yeah.
The Vegas Land Cruise, the first and probably only Vegas Land Cruise. Forever you will be number one.
That's awesome.
And I can see the look of resentment as you look out on all these people that now they can't be number one. Right? Yeah. And you're going to get some comments. Who do you think you were for being number one? Right? I could have been number one. Right? Yeah. And you'll say, those people. You don't think I should be number one. Yeah. No. You will say that these are beings of love.
Sure.
And that you accept them whether they accept you or not.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you beings of love, see how you accept this accelerator up here, taking the glory and the limelight away from what could have been yours. Right? And being okay with it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny. Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's number two? Or no?
I don't think number two. Number two is like,
you know,
my sister.
It's a daunting view from here. I'm glad to make it on the podium. Hello, Joshua.
Hello.
Up close and personal. Good to see you. Right. I had a question about... it's about the relationship to the rest of the world, in a way. Earlier this week, I felt some anxiety. I was feeling really good at the prospect of coming here to the Land Cruise, and I very rarely read the news and follow what's in the news, but the sort of escalation of violence in the Middle East just brought some anxiety one day. And I had to process some fears around that, just telling myself that it was just a feeling of powerlessness because these were conditions that I could not control. And so I managed to talk myself into being in the moment and regaining my balance and feeling good and looking forward to what was coming next, et cetera, et cetera. But my question was more about what a group like this here, gathering our intents, can, what sort of influence can we have on such, on the scale of events happening like this, on mass consciousness, if you like.
So how can this group control the outside conditions? How can this group use the energy and power of alignment to control the terrorists? Don't you see the benefit of the terrorists?
Yeah.
The terrorists teach you that you cannot control the outside conditions. This whole thing is about allowing the conditions to be as they are.
Yeah, I can see that. And without controlling, is there...
So imagine that you could take a preference, and your preference is you would prefer to live in a world without terrorism. That seems totally reasonable. We totally agree. In a world of love, there would be no terrorism. Well, there'd be a lot of things that there would not be any of. In a world of love, there'd be no fear. In a world without fear, there'd be no contrast. In a world without contrast, there'd be no desires. Oh, you're talking about the non-physical. Right? In the physical, there's all these different things coming on. And you get to participate in whatever you want. Right? And so you choose, I'll participate in this, this, and this, and leave the rest to everyone else. That rest is not wrong. Because if you could say, let's get rid of this little part that I don't like, you would never stop. You would go more and more and more until everything was eliminated. And you'd be standing alone in a sea of nothingness. Mm-hmm. Because there'd be nothing to be afraid of.
Right. I can see the value of contrast.
And in that contrast of nothingness, you just bring everything back.
Yeah, I can see the value of contrast, but is there, because the, what's happening on a political level or on a global scale is the reflection of mass consciousness.
Right. So what's mass consciousness? So it's this person living in fear, and this person living in love, and this person living in less fear than that person, but not quite in love, and this person living in less love than that person, but not quite fear, and this whole group of people in their spectrum of fear to love, moving generally towards love, mm-hmm. right? And you, to move this consciousness, don't ask the others to be more love. What do?
You just
be more love yourself.
Yeah, that's
right. Doesn't being more love yourself? Yeah. Feel better than worrying about what anyone else does. Right? We're not asking any of you to be more love because we think that'd be better. We're only asking you to be more love because it'd be feel better. Right? And it's more in harmony with who you really are. And the terrorist who's in fear, being in love is in harmony with who he is. And the incongruency of the fear, well, he understands that. She understands that. They know what it is. They're wrestling with that idea too, just like any fear that you're wrestling with, okay? They came to explore one fear, you came to explore another fear. Yeah. So, in exploring the idea that this should be a world of more love, you're really exploring the word should, you know? And you get to explore the shouldness of it. Mm-hmm. And you should not, you can say, this should not be like this, but what feels better is for me to be more okay with it, more accepting of it. And acceptance is love. And so as you accept the violence and all the things that you don't like, as you accept it as an experience for someone else that's valid for them and part of the experience of all, and it, you remove it from your attention from it. And you attract it less to you personally. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that's all this is. This is a universe of attraction, and you did not opt into that, so you can opt out of it. Mm-hmm. Now, you opt into it when you draw your attention to it, you think it's wrong. When you think it's bad or wrong, you are focusing your vibration, your point of attraction on that. Now, that doesn't mean that you personally will be affected by it. It means that you will hear more stories about it, people talk about it more, It'll come closer to you. It'll just be in your daily experience more. Okay. Why is it in your daily experience more? So you can process the limiting belief around it. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason it's in there more. Do you see how this universe is working to help you specifically? It's showing you, if you think something's wrong, you get to see more of that thing that's wrong. So that you can see that your vibration is hell-bent on the wrongness of it.
So it's using the emotional indicator, the emotion as an indicator.
The feedback
focused on,
of
on
what
the,
you're
being. What's not serving me.
Yeah.
Which is what I was trying to do, but I was wondering whether all these, what we perceive as being negative, then just lead us to be more in love, and in that,
right.
From that stance as well, to bring probably more people around us who may be in fear towards the side of love as well. Which,
well, so not by doing anything other than being an example of love yourself, right?
Yeah,
because you can't bring anyone with you by telling them that they're wrong for not being with you. You can only bring them with you by being who you are and allowing them to come or not come. You know?
Yeah.
So as an example of alignment, when someone says, oh, the terrorists are horrible, terrible, and you say, look at the squirrel, look at the sunny day, look at the flower. Mm-hmm. You just remove their attention from it and place it back on something that they prefer.
Yeah.
They don't know that when they say something is wrong, that they're attracting more wrong. They find out by saying something is wrong, that they're attracting more of it, right? And they get to figure it out of themselves when and if they choose to do that. That's not for anyone here to worry about. That's why this is a group of 30-some-odd people instead of 3 million-some-odd people. Because it is a new idea. It is a new approach to life. To care about how you feel more than anything else. Right? And how you feel has nothing to do with anyone else. It has only to do with you. Mm-hmm. Right? And you are in control of that. Mm-hmm. But you think that if you can control the conditions, then you'll feel better. Mm-hmm. And it's true to a certain extent. If you clean up your house, you'll feel better. The house is neat and clean. Mm-hmm. You'll feel better. If you dress nicely, you might feel better. You control those conditions to feel better. And so you extrapolate that towards everything else. But that can't ever work because it's an inside job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good.
Best second question we've ever had.
Thank you.
Can I just get my hug?
Not without a question.
No, I'm just getting my hug.
Thank you, Arno. Did you feel a different energy here?
Yes.
You get to feel the energy up here when you come. Excellent. Who's number three?
Okay.
Gotta be. If you decide to opt out after you've asked your question and there's a gap in the thing, we'll go from number one, number three, to number 17.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm good. Okay. So I had some of my question answered through Kimmy's number one question. But it also stems around the idea of being bigger than who I've been in the past. Because, or you know, when I get an idea to do something or share something or teach, I always stop myself and say things like, you're just trying to show off, or they're not going to understand that, or
who
do you think you are is a big one for me. I feel that a lot, that people, yeah. So how do I be?
So who do you think you are?
Who do I think I am?
Who the hell do you think you are?
No.
Who do you think you are?
Who do I think I am?
Who do you think you are? Without the limiting beliefs that you have, who do you think you really are? In the non-physical, the authentic version of you exists. Who do you think that is?
Energy. Just
pure positive love and energy. Magnificence. That's who you are. That's who everyone is as they exist in the non-physical. What's the difference between that version of you and this version of you in this chair?
My mind.
Well, no, your mind is clear.
Okay.
But you've brought in some baggage.
Yeah.
That you travel along with you.
Yes.
What are those? What's that baggage?
My past.
Well, you all have past, right? And you had to come from somewhere. And you all chose your past, whether you believe it or not. And you all chose your path, past, which was your path, for a reason. Why did you choose the specific path that you chose?
To relate, I think.
To
relate to others.
To others who had similar paths?
Yes.
Okay. So those who have similar paths have similar what?
Fears and feelings about themselves.
Okay. So they have similar luggage.
Yes.
They look the same.
Exactly.
If you're in a carousel at the airport, you're not going to be able to pick out yours from theirs. Mm-hmm. You all come on the same flight, and you're all standing around with the same luggage.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're all going through each other's bags, finding the exact same clothes. Because they're all the same limiting beliefs. Mm-hmm. Now, the fears are something separate. Because without those limiting beliefs, you couldn't have those fears. Mm-hmm. Right? So let's track everything back. When you feel a fear, it's based on a limiting belief. Mm-hmm. Without the limiting belief, you couldn't feel the fear. So the fear always is an indication of the limiting belief. There's only two emotions, love and fear. Every beneficial belief you have is based on love. What do you like about yourself? Name one thing.
Love.
No. What do you like about you? Excellent. What else physically do you like about yourself? Or your personality or who you are right now in this seat?
I'm starting to like everything.
Okay. Name one thing you like about yourself.
My hair.
Okay. We were going to say your hair too. You like your hair, and that is a beneficial belief that you have beautiful hair, and that is based in love. That's based in the authentic version of you who exists in the non-physical has the most extraordinary hair you've ever seen, right? You brought that hair with you. Gary didn't, right? So all these things that you think are great about yourself, do you think anything's great about yourself? Or do you think a lot of things are okay about yourself?
Okay.
Okay. All the things you think are okay about yourself are based in love. You can take those okay things and make them the greatest thing.
Just by saying that.
Just by having experiences, adopting new beliefs, and diminishing the intensity of limiting beliefs around everything.
Okay. Okay? Everything.
Because your hair is mostly love and some fear. Do you ever have a bad hair day?
Yes.
That's a fear day, right? The limiting belief day. The intensity of that limiting belief is very small. In Gary, it's very high, right? But it's not a big deal. So, right? So the intensity of the limiting belief around that. Now, the intensity of the limiting belief about you being a master among masters is very strong, right? Of you having a group like this and talking like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you reduce the intensity of that limiting belief and your natural self, and however that incarnates into this experience, comes forth.
Okay.
So you have talents and abilities that are, some are obvious to you and some are hidden from you, and those will naturally come out. All of you have natural talents and abilities that will come out as you process limiting beliefs, so that the limiting belief becomes less limiting. You'll always have your limiting beliefs. Always. But some are really intense right now, and some are really minor. And your work is to take those intense limiting beliefs and dial them down as much as you can.
Okay.
And so that when someone says to you, "Oh, I love your hair," you don't feel like, who am I to have someone say, "I love my hair," right? But when someone says, "You're a brilliant teacher," and you say, "Well, that doesn't feel right," right? But that's who you are. You're all brilliant teachers. And if you don't think you're a brilliant teacher, it's because you have a limiting belief in that regard. because you're thinking, who am I to be a brilliant teacher when I don't think I know anything, right? Mm-hmm. When I'm not living the life that would look like a brilliant teacher, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. If you look at my life, it doesn't look like that, mm-hmm. right? So that means I'm not a brilliant teacher. Mm-hmm. That's not true. Mm-hmm. That's not true at all. The homeless man is a brilliant teacher, right? And the homeless man doesn't need to look like a guru, right? That's a false perception there. Mm-hmm. To see the guru who's got everything together is qualified to teach. You aren't qualified to teach by having everything together. You're qualified to teach because you're in essence a teacher. Okay. You're in essence a master. Mm-hmm. You're in essence magnificent. Mm-hmm. Okay? That is your natural state. If this wasn't for limiting beliefs, you would know it right now. You're a master because of the childhood and the past that you came through, right? Mm-hmm. And your special gift and talent is, as you learn to process those beliefs, you help others mm-hmm. learn to process those beliefs. Not to say you are this way because of that and there's no way you can fix it. To say that, no, you think you're this way. And the reason you think you're this way is because you have a set of beliefs that you adopted through the experiences that you went through. So you don't have to pull that luggage around with you, right? You can leave it.
Okay, one more question. So when teaching, it feels weird, though, to tell people things like, you create your own reality, or...
Good, don't tell them that.
Okay. Just be happy.
Here you are with a group of people who have intense limiting beliefs, right?
Yeah.
And then you say... Guess what? You created this.
Yeah.
It's okay to say to people who think they're doing well, you created this. Yeah, I did. I'm great, right? But to say to people who think they're not doing well, you created this, right?
Yeah.
No. To say, all you've done is believed some bullshit, right? Mm-hmm. So we're going to teach you how not to believe that bullshit anymore, right?
Yes.
I used to believe in bullshit. I still believe in a lot of that, right? A lot of it. But not about my hair. And not about being able to speak to you, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So you're not saying that they're any better than they are, that they're going to be any better than they are. Mm-hmm. You're going to say that all we're doing here is helping you realize that the things you believe about yourself that aren't true aren't true. And the things you believe about yourself that are true are true. And you're not fully going to ever not believe the things that aren't true. You're always going to believe them a little bit. But we can dial that down. And then we can dial up all the good stuff.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, Joshua.
Hello.
Nice to be here. Can you hear me? Oh. Thank you. As always. Okay, so I have a question, but it's around my children, so it has nothing to do with me.
Oh, no.
Okay, let's see where this goes. So I have an 18-year-old daughter. And a 14-year-old son. Yes, I did have them when I was 14. Both of my children have disabilities. Okay, more so my daughter.
May we stop you right there?
Oh, oops. Have I said something wrong?
No, no, no. Most of your children have abilities.
Yes.
To the casual observer, might seem as a challenge.
Thank you. Yes. They have been diagnosed as having autism, okay? My daughter more so than my son. My son is, you know, can relate very well with me. He does have some things that are sort of interesting. And I'm speaking in terms of, you know, how society perceives, right? How in this society we perceive. So these are labels that are given to the children, right? My daughter is less expressive, less verbal. She can only talk, in very few sentences. And so she has a long road ahead of her. Okay?
Yep.
You wanted to say something?
We would like to say that no one is very expressive. That none of you are very expressive. That if you could explain what is in your vibration and all the desires and things that you want, you might speak a couple paragraphs. When that vibration of who you are could fill books and pages big enough to fill this room. Right? Mm-hmm. So the idea of expressiveness verbally is only a minutia of what expressiveness really is.
Yes.
Because expressiveness comes from the vibration and not from the words or the communication or the way that you do it now. And when you transition to non-physical, the expression is oneness, that not I know you, it's that I am you. Right? So everything that is you is everything that is me. And in this game of physical reality, you get to pretend that you're an individual. And you get to base who you think you are based on everything around you. Okay? But who you are, who all of you are, is a molding of that society has made on you. So you're all wearing clothes. You're all speaking English. You're all speaking perfectly proper English. And if you say something minutely wrong, people will catch you on that. Right? And you are all behaving properly, and you're all going to bed at the right time, and you're all, and the little things you do that go out of line, you think are a big deal, right? Because you're all molded by the pressure of parents and teachers and society to be a certain way. And those who live on the extremes of that spectrum, the artists, the ones that don't, the homeless, the ones that, the terrorists, you say are either horribly wrong or horribly brilliant, right? Mm. Horribly wrong, and you try and be in this middle and not get called out for anything, right? And you play it safe. And you allow yourself to be molded. And you allow yourself to be told you're good or bad. And you manipulate others by being good or bad, right? You want others to love you, so you be good to them, right? You want them to be a certain way to you, so you be bad to them. That sort of thing. You create who you are based on them. What if you could come into reality and say, I will not be molded by them? How do you do that? How in the world do you do that?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Okay. So I believe, that the reason why did these children come into my life? Obviously, we all...
Why do they come into your
life?
Why
do they come into... And whether they, they came to teach, right? My perception
but
is...
But of all the people that they could come to live with, mm-hmm. how did they come to live with
how
you?
How did they come to live with me? Which is a question I've been... And this is why I'm here.
What do you think it is? Because you're willing to ask these larger questions and to see them in a different light. Where other people want them to be different than they are, you're here to allow them to be who they are.
Yes, and I think it is... It is because somehow, and I don't know how this works, but somehow it's like, they chose me and my ex, because she's not my ex-spouse, as parents, because we had the environment or ourselves or our, spirits, I don't know what to say, it's very, very conducive to letting them be themselves, while at the same, and the struggle really is how to allow, allowing them to be themselves, at some point, someone will need to take care of them, in the future. Actually, at least for my daughter, at least. So I've been struggling with, how do I let them be who they are while
Excellent.
Having to...
How do you let anyone be who they are? That's something everyone's struggling with. How do you let your mates be who they are? How do you let their parents be who they are? How do you let your children of any type be who they are? You're in a situation where...
A parental situation
where you get to experience this on a higher intensity level. But also, you can see the benefit of letting them be who they are compared to a other child being who he is. How do you be in a certain culture and that culture says you should be a doctor, a lawyer?
Totally. Understand.
Not a chef. Same thing. You should be straight and not gay. You should be smart and not dumb. You should be whatever and not whatever, right? Here, you let all that go and you say you should be what to them? You're not asking them to be a doctor or a lawyer.
Asking them to be there who they are, right? I'm not there's no imposition of any normative.
You don't care about their grades,
behaviors.
You don't care about any of the stuff.
Life skills,
that doesn't make
life
any
skills,
stuff,
the things that are important, right? The things that are authentic and genuine for them. I mean, it's really about that. So I really I do struggle, you know, with having to I want to let them be their authentic selves, right. But in the society we have to sort of, you know, there's this little box that folks would like to put them in.
Right.
And so...
And you have to deal with that box.
Yes.
Right.
That box is like sandpaper.
Right. You're rubbing up, it's like a cheese grater, and you're the cheese.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And at some point... I will pass on, right? Just we will move on from the physical into back into the non-physical, and I guess I have a fear. This is a fear, right? This is and it may be an irrational fear, of me not putting in motion in this society within the framework of what the society gives us, the right. Structures in order to be able for them to thrive as their selves, you know, their own beings.
So imagine now
in the future.
Let's take a look at this fear from another angle. So imagine that the fear is a really good thing, right? It's thank God that you have this fear, because what if you had no resources whatsoever? What if you were incapable of doing anything? You wouldn't have this fear because there's nothing you can do. Right? So you have the ability to provide for them a life that is above and beyond what the average person could do. You know, if you were in having this same situation in a tribe on some distant land without any resources or support, it would be a whole different thing. You wouldn't have the fear. It would be a different fear. So you get this good fear. This is an excellent fear to have, right? Because now you at least have something. And so now you can work with it. It's still so much better than it would have been had you had no resources at all.
What do we call this fear? Do we call it irrational? It's not irrational.
Are you going to die as if you're going to kill you? Is the subject of that fear?
Obviously.
Let's say the subject of the fear is money. Money to provide for their support when you're not around, right?
Right.
So, lack of money. Now, that's a fear that's universal anyway, right? And you're just focusing that fear on this subject, right? So imagine if that wasn't a fear, if that even wasn't there.
That is not there.
Right? Then you'd have a fear about something else.
Yes.
Right? So you can have a fear anyway. So who cares? Everything's going to work out. They chose you because of this whole situation that you could provide the support they needed. Right, and it'll always work out because it always has worked out. You can't see how it's going to work out, and you wish you could see how it's going to work out. Right? You all wish you could see how it's going to work. You know why they put turns in roller coasters? So that you can't see what's going to be coming. You know why you climb that hill and all you see is the sky? Because you can't see the dip. Right?
Yes, sir.
And that's what makes it fun. Okay? It'll work out. You'll get to the end of this roller coaster, and you'll see how everything works out perfectly. Now, in this worry that things aren't going to work out, you feel like you're up against the cheese grater. You feel the anxiety of that. But that causes you desire. And the desire leads you to, we'll say, more money. Doing things that will provide for them that you might not have otherwise done. Now, is it necessary? Absolutely no, because the universe, they're creating their reality, right? And they're going to be taken care of in the greatest sense of the word. And they're having an experience that is unbelievably beneficial, not just for them, but for all.
Yes.
It's part of this whole new moving towards a different experience of reality, right? And it's beneficial not just for them having it, but for those of you witnessing it and seeing how it is. If you've ever seen someone come through the depth of any despair to the other side of it, the joy in that is unbelievable. If you've ever seen an autistic child come through a journey out the other side, their joy is beautiful to see. And there's more to come from this whole spectrum of experience. There are lessons that you will all learn from this. And we will give you one little secret. In your life, you will understand what you're here to explore through your passions. Most of you discount the importance of your passions. Oh, it's something I enjoy. Oh, I'll have time for that when I retire. Oh, I'm not that good at it. Oh, it's not really for me. Oh, what will people think? But when you get into your passion, when you really find it, when you follow the thread of that and pull it and pull and pull at it, and go through the challenge and the struggle and the questions that brings up for you, there's joy, and your talents and abilities emerge. The transformation of the autistic person is found in the passion. And they all have a passion that they are here to find. But if they are being told they're wrong for being how they are and trying to make to fit into society, it'll be more difficult for them to find their passions. If they're accepted for who they are and the journey that they've chosen, that you can all see that they've chosen, right? It's so obvious. From your perspective, it's obvious. From other people's perspective, it's not so. But from your perspective, you can see how it's obvious they chose this path. If you know that you chose your path, then you know that they chose their path too, right? And their experience of life. So in acknowledging the brilliance of their path and the perfection of their path, then you can say, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? What do you want to experience now? Now, we're simplifying this to an incredible, and from your perspective, you can see this is the simplification is ridiculous. But in that idea that they have a passion to find, you can change a little bit of your perspective on that. You know? And all of you can as well.
Thank you.
Yeah. Excellent.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Hi, Joshua.
Hi, Nikki.
Okay, so I'm feeling really emotional. So I hope I can articulate what I want to say. But I've just sort of had a series of manifestation events, and they're around rejection. And I was just thinking, you know, even though I know you're going to say this is a limiting belief, but it's sort of like, is this like my process towards getting that ego mind reduced? It's like I think I really identify with myself as a woman, as being very sexual, as, you know, wanting to connect with a man. And the man that I'm married to, I love him very much, but we're coming to a natural end to our relationship. And maybe I'm just supposed to be alone. I don't know. But I find all this very emotional. And, you know, with all the teachings and the knowledge that I have, I'm reaching for the higher perspective. but the emotion is just super strong. And, you know, I'm here to have a good time. I'm here to have fun. And so can you help me just release some of the fear?
Is the emotion negative? Is it a good feeling emotion or a bad feeling emotion?
It's a mix.
Is a feeling of rejection a good feeling emotion?
It doesn't feel good, okay. No.
So you have a guidance system. The guidance system is telling you through the negative emotion and the intensity of that negative emotion that you are perceiving the events that are happening in a way that is not real.
Yeah.
Okay. So you are perceiving that you're being rejected, and your inner self is not perceiving that. In fact, your inner self can see from the higher perspective that there is no rejection happening, that the rejection is this false perception of reality, that you are looking at life in a way that makes it seem like it means something about who you are as a worthy, beautiful, desirable person.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's an illusion. And that's all that this emotion is alerting you to the fact that the illusion that you feel rejected is caused by a limiting belief. And the limiting belief is?
Well, I think it's more like an attachment to specific forms, specific.
So pieces. Without the limiting belief, you couldn't feel the emotion of rejection.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's look at what limiting beliefs could cause you to feel rejected.
Someone says, I'm leaving you for somebody else. That could be one.
So in that statement, I'm leaving you for somebody else.
I'm not choosing you.
Right. You believe that had you been worthy, that they would have chosen you instead. Right?
Okay. Right.
Now that is a limiting belief in the fact that that has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with it at all. Had you been number one on the totem pole, they would go, I'm not worthy of number one. I need to go for number seven. Right? Who am I to be with number one? I can't handle number one. Right? They're not rejecting you because they're bad. They're rejecting you because you're good. You're too good for them based on their fear. That's what it is.
So
your inner self sees this. It's so obvious, your inner self. And your inner self is saying, hey, Nikki, we know what's happening here. Can't you see it? Okay, she can't see it. It's so obvious. She can't see it. She thinks she's being rejected because she's not good. No. She's not being rejected. He's off over here because this doesn't fit with who he is. Right? Because he had to live all his life going, I'm not good enough for this. I'm not good enough for this. And everything you say, he's going to perceive as, she doesn't think I'm good enough for it. Right? And he's going to have to live with how he feels in reflection of you based on his limiting beliefs and his fears, right? And so you're the cheese grater and he's the cheese, right? You're just saying what you're saying and he's taking it as not being good enough, right? Here you are, he has you up on this pedestal. I could never, ever be with that. She would never love me. How does she love me anyway? It doesn't make any sense given who I am. Right? She is so great, and I'm just paltry. Right? That's the problem of being number one. Right? Yeah. So, without the limiting belief that you think you need to be better, you're thinking, if I was better, he'd choose me.
If I was different, he'd choose me.
Well, how could you be different, right? You're going to try and be different so that he chooses you?
No.
If I could be worthy of his love, he chooses me, right? His choice of me proves I'm worthy. Oh, thank God. I'm finally worthy because he chose me. His rejection of me proves, again, I'm not worthy. Yep, not worthy. That's why he didn't choose me. He chose someone else. I feel rejected, not worthy. But your inner self goes, no, you're totally worthy. Obviously, you're worthy, you know. You're just looking at it from a different angle.
I'm still depending on the external conditions to feel good.
Oh, yes. You're still depending on it. Does that make sense now?
I know you've told me that like 100 times.
But yesterday you didn't think that. And right now it's like, oh. And you may not get it all the way, but everyone else is getting it.
And also, I always want to fill in the grid. Why can't I just imagine that amazing things are happening?
Hold on. The grid's filling in perfectly. The grid's filling in perfectly. The grid's filling perfectly. You're just battling against the flow of the grid. You're just saying the grid's wrong.
That, you know, if I were non-physical, I could go with the flow and I wouldn't care who was here and who wasn't.
Well, you'll be there soon enough. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, but while I'm in physical reality, while you're the illusion is so real sometimes.
Yeah, well, you get to work on that. That's what you get to work on.
Can I just have fun and not work on things all
yes,
the time?
You could if you wanted to. Absolutely. Just have fun. Imagine if you didn't have the limiting belief, right? Without the limiting belief, you just go, I'm having so much fun.
Oh, man,
fun.
There he goes. I'm Who's the next one?
Yeah. Oh, I'm
right?
so hot.
I am so hot.
Yep. I'm so desirable. Oh, another one. Get away. Get away.
Yeah, it's like every time I get a new one, I think, oh, this is the one. Oh, no, that's not the one.
Yeah, you know? This is the one. Make it work, 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 make it work. Nah, that's not the one.
Yeah. So I'm going to keep getting the same thing until I'm no longer dependent on any of those out there.
Right.
And I just know I'm magnificent.
Right.
And when divine timing is right, he'll be there.
Right. When divine timing is right, he'll be there. Right. When's the right time?
I don't know.
Whenever you're ready for the right time.
Yeah.
Right? Are you going to prove you're ready for the right time?
No.
Why not? Why not prove you're ready?
I don't want to prove anything.
Prove you're ready for the right time by being open to being ready for the right time, and not having to fill in the condition on yourself.
So just right? stay in a place of allowing.
Allowing. Oh, it's interest. Oh, curiosity. Oh. Oh, what's happening now? Oh, that doesn't mean anything about who I am.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything about who I am. That comment, this attraction to me, this person adoring me, is ridiculous. It doesn't mean anything about it. This person saying how sexy and beautiful I am, it's so stupid.
I've heard it
need
before.
That. Yeah. Right? It doesn't mean anything. Them saying how, you know, anything about me doesn't mean anything. The only thing that matters is what you think. And you get to choose what you think. Right?
Yeah.
Now, you're going to tend towards thinking that you're being rejected.
Yeah.
Because of the path that you chose.
Yeah.
Right? You adopted baggage, and that baggage seems real. And it seems like you have to hold on to it. Right?
Yeah.
But you can toss out little items. Toss out all the wine and the candy that you tossed out last night, and the baggage is lighter. Right? And just keep the good stuff.
Now, isn't that ironic that I didn't have my bag for like 48 hours? Like, I totally lost my bag.
What are the chances? What are the odds?
100%.
Yeah, okay.
All for you. It's all for you.
Yeah.
It's all for you. Your job is to figure out how.
How yeah. it's for me.
Yeah.
yeah. Okay. Yeah. Process the limiting yeah. beliefs.
And you get to figure it out in the minute it's happening.
Yeah.
Or today, or next week, whenever you're ready. Yeah. But don't ruin today.
Yeah, I don't want to ruin today because I still want to have fun while I'm here.
Yeah. So how do you have fun while you're here?
Be in the present moment.
Well, sure, you're in the present moment. What does that mean?
It means have a stance of fun and curiosity.
Right.
Right?
Right. Right. Realize you'll feel better later.
I know. I'm yeah. already feeling better.
Yeah. Excellent.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
No, help. My fingers don't work that well.
Isabel, Isabel. What time is it?
8:11.
What?
8:11.
There we go.
Hi.
Hi.
So I've been having teeth pain. And a tooth infection, and I've been sick for a while. And when you're sick, you're just low energy. And
good.
Been trying
good.
To stay in alignment.
Good. Low energy. If you have low energy, what can you do? Can you go out and save the world?
No.
What do you have to do? Save yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isabel, speak up. We can't hear you.
Okay. And I've been processing fear. And I think I have a good self-talk, and Nikki helped me. So work has been overwhelming. And I knew I was taken down because I wasn't processing the fear. It was a lot of, it was like 500 emails and a ton of meetings and the resources, somebody got let go, and it all came to me, and I said, I don't have to fix anything, and I was being really, you know, I'm like, I don't have to fix anything, and when I get to somebody, everyone wants to eat at my restaurant, and it's okay, they'll either get hungry, they'll find a new restaurant, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. But I was still in resistance because I was in so much pain. And so Nikki and I, we talked about it, and she said, Isabel, you are a conduit of source. You are flowing source. And so when they are in manifestation events or in fear, you are not doing the work. Source is doing the work. And I said, Nikki, that really, really helps, because the illusion is I'm doing the work, because it feels like I'm answering that email. I'm picking up the phone. Right. I'm resolving issues.
So when you're answering the email, what is really happening?
I'm flowing.
You either are or aren't.
Okay.
Right? You're either flowing source, you're either the conduit of source, or you're the resistant, the
bottleneck.
Nozzle, the bottleneck of source.
Yes.
Right? And in the bottleneck of source, you can't get the words out. Nothing makes sense. And you're doing things to fix problems rather than to do what's naturally going to come forth, right? But you're not doing anything either way, right? And in fear, you just gum up the process. And in your knowing that everything's going to work out, everything's going to be fine, and that this has nothing to do with you, right? Of who Isabel is. It's a distraction anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
I know it's for me, and I know it's my playground.
Who you are in this job is the momentum of who you were before.
Oh.
Right? And so you thought, I have to have a job, I have to be good, I have to do this, I have to prove myself, I have to make money, I have to do all these things, so let's just get a job. And in that job, you fooled around with who you were as you in context of that job. And where you ended up had to do with the amount of fear you had and the amount of courage you had, or the amount of ability you had to process fear, right? So you start the job as a fear-based entity, and you let some of that fear go and let some of those beliefs go, and you progress to where you are now. Now, you're not the CEO. You could have been the CEO had you processed fear along the way if you cared, right?
Right.
And really, are you going to be CEO of that company? No. You'll be led to whatever it is you are.
No.
So you process fear, and you move, whether it's in this company or in this profession or in this anything or finding your passions or...
Well, I have a knowing that I'll be starting my own company.
Right.
And I have a knowing I'll be a CEO. Right. And I know that the flood...
Is that giving you fear?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
So... Why aren't you there yet?
I think so. This is the help that I'm trying to get. I take it on so much when I don't help somebody.
Excellent topic of conversation. Are you here to help anyone?
Intellectually, I know that, but it doesn't feel like that.
Okay, true. It doesn't feel like that. But just stay with the statement. Did you come here to help anyone?
No.
Did we come here to help you?
No.
What did we come here for? Why are we here? Because it's fun.
That's fine.
What else are we going to do? We get to talk through somebody.
Right.
How fun is that?
Right.
Right?
Interact with people.
Right. We get to interact. And if you get something cool. If you don't, who cares?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
You're perfect as you are.
Yes.
You're perfect as you are.
Yes.
There's nothing to help. There's nothing to fix. Everything's great. Right. This is just fun.
Right.
The only reason we're here is fun. The only reason you're there is what?
Fun.
Well, in essence, yeah.
Sure, right.
Right, in essence.
In essence.
Right. So, if the only reason you're there is for fun, and if you're having fun, then you're serving your purpose of being there.
Okay.
Right? And that will lead to wherever it goes. right? If you have no attachments to anything, then that leads wherever it goes.
It's very hard not to have attachments.
Okay, so what's the attachment? How you're being perceived?
No.
Do you care how you're perceived?
No. I feel their pain.
You feel the pain?
I do.
Okay. How can you feel their pain?
I don't know. I do.
How is it even possible?
I don't know. I'm telling you, I do.
Okay. Can you feel anyone's pain here?
I can also feel their joy.
Can you feel anyone's pain?
Yes, I felt Wendy's pain, yes.
What was Wendy's pain?
Her head.
Okay, and what did you feel?
The pain in my head.
What was the pain like? Describe it.
It was like a strong ache.
Where? Point to it.
Right here on the side.
Okay, and where was your pain?
The opposite, which makes a lot of sense.
I don't know.
Is it her pain?
So let me ask you this. If we're all one, why couldn't...
You could.
I could feel
could.
People's
but,
emotions. But it's not maybe, I agree, it's not my...
What does feeling her pain do for you?
To help her.
What does helping her do for you?
It does make me feel good.
What does feeling good helping people do for you? Why would that feel good?
Love, because it feels like love.
Does it feel like love?
Yes.
Does it feel like connection?
It's a connecting to
source.
All,
it feels like alignment.
It does.
Okay, so when you feel good, you feel aligned.
Right.
Okay.
Is that why it's so hard when they're in
No, you want them to be in pain, right?
No.
Because if they're not in pain, then you
can't
feel their pain, and then you can't feel good for feeling their pain, and then you can't feel in alignment for feeling their pain.
So
you got to find people in pain. You should work at a hospital. You should work at a school.
So
you should work in corporate America.
Boy, they have a lot of pain. So is that why I'm attracted
to that? What if you surrounded yourself with people who weren't in pain? What would you do?
It's not challenging enough.
Would you dig down for their pain?
Of course.
You'd find their pain. You'd drill down. You'd drill down to their pain.
Of course.
So you're not feeling enough pain here, so...
So I can't feel connected to source.
So what do you do if you don't feel enough pain?
I'll find it.
You manifested it.
Sure.
Where?
Oh, in my body.
Where in your body?
Oh, my tooth.
There you go.
So is it so rooted? Is that like such, that's my cross? That's
no, you can choose whatever you want.
Sure.
It's your luggage, you can choose whatever you want.
I know.
You do not have to find the pain in others to feel good.
No.
You can feel good by seeing everything and everyone as going through whatever they're going through.
Sure.
And you don't have to fix that.
No.
Right?
But why is this need to fix so strong?
What was your path?
It must be the path.
What
right?
did you choose?
How to fix, I'm sure.
Why? Who did you choose to be
how
born to?
To challenge a broken soul.
Well, can souls be broken?
No, just her role.
Right. Well, what was her role? To allow you to adopt these beliefs.
Sure.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So you adopted them. Now they're limiting, right?
Yeah.
This limiting belief that people are broken or that people have pain or people need to be relieved from their pain.
Right.
And that you should do it and that you should get gratification from doing it. Right?
Right.
Not really serving
so
you because there's so much more up there for
right.
you.
Right. So, okay. So when the flood comes, the work of the flood, right? To allow not to... get to everyone or whatever.
The flood's coming.
Right.
You're going...
I don't want to resist it. I want to go with the flood, go with the wave, right?
Well, how do you go with the flood?
Just allow yourself to be moved with it.
Flood sounds a little ominous. How about gentle
something.
Little stream?
It's a little stream. The
right.
Right.
So, if you enjoy... fixing people and solving and feeling their pain,
yeah.
then do that as long as you want.
Right.
Right? Just realize that if you happen to be around people who aren't in pain,
yeah.
it's going to pop up somewhere.
Huh.
Right? And it's either going to pop up in them, and you don't want to pop up in them, or it's going to pop up in you. Right?
Huh.
And if you're in this environment of fun and love and no one's in pain... Right?
Which I do have periods of that. I do.
Well, you have periods this week.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it is the connection to source. Like, I understand that.
What happens if you can't solve their pain?
It's for them.
But what happens to you if you can't solve their pain?
It's okay.
Is it okay? Or how do you feel? You feel good when you solve their pain, and what happens if you don't solve their pain?
Yeah, but I don't
Don't care if we solve your pain.
Sure. I don't want to be attached to that.
Yeah. We don't think we're worthy for solving your pain.
I don't want to be limited by
that. We don't think we're worthy of doing anything.
Right.
We actually are brought forth because of you. We get to find these ideas that have never been thought of before, right, or say them in a way that's never been said before because of you.
Yeah.
Right? So without your confusion and lack of clarity and without your perception of problems, we couldn't get these awesome answers. Right?
Yeah.
And isn't that's what's fun. What's fun for us is reaching up there to places we could never reach before because your desire is allowing us to reach there and then bringing them through and popping out of this mouth into physical reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun. That's all we're doing. And if no one heard it, if we were speaking in a vacuum, it would still be fun because we do not bring forth any meaning to any of this.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Right? There's no attachment to anything.
Yeah.
And in that lack of attachment, there's no fear.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's where the magic is. I understand,
that's where the magic is.
Loosey-goosey.
That's where source is. Yes. Source exists without fear.
Without fear.
Right. And so what you might be doing as you're solving pain, right?
Yeah.
Solving discomfort, dis-ease.
Yes.
Is allowing people to feel a little bit better, to feel a little bit more love.
Yes.
To get a little glimpse of that.
Yes.
Right?
That's true.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that brings me joy.
So it brings you joy, allowing them to see a little more glimpse. But really how they're seeing it is in what you represent to them. And you don't have that much influence over how they perceive you because their perception of reality is based on them. And their path and their limiting beliefs and all that, their fears,
right?
So if you're this calm, easy person in a midst of a hurricane,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Then they can say, you know, the fear I'm feeling, she's not feeling it.
Yes.
Isabel's not feeling that fear. How come? Yes. What is she doing?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then that moves them up a notch. This, something goes off in their perception.
Yes.
That there's another way.
Yes.
That they don't have to be worried all the time.
And that allows me to be in source.
And allows you to do what needs to be done in the time. And you're not really doing anything. Right?
I know.
You're not doing anything.
Yeah.
Get out of the way.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. Okay, so just because I'm going to go back to work and I haven't looked at emails. So I know I create my own reality and I can just say a stream.
Remember when you used to be the problem solver?
Yes.
So problems, solve.
Yeah.
Do you still need to be the problem solver?
No.
Okay. So did things change? Are you still the problem solver? Are they still coming to you with all the problems?
Yeah.
So did you change that attachment to being the person that solves the problems, to being identified by this person that can solve all these problems?
That's
did you change
vacuum.
The need to be that person, the attachment to who you thought you were as that?
I think it's momentum.
Well, everything's momentum, right? But momentum is only what happened in the past,
right?
And going with the idea of that. But if momentum was 100%, then we could foretell your future.
Mm.
But since we can't foretell your future, mm-hmm. we know for a fact that momentum is your choice, right? And you can choose how to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, does it feel good to be the problem solver?
There must be a part of me, yes.
Does it feel good to be the pain easer?
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
So, as long as that feels good to you, this momentum will continue.
That momentum will continue.
Yeah.
But it's not wrong.
No. But you can choose what you want.
Right. What I came to explore.
Well, you came to explore this.
Sure.
And have you explored it? Right?
Yeah.
You can come to choose to explore a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
And you can dig and dig and dig and dig. And at some point you can say, that's big enough.
That's
right?
Good. That's good.
And then you can do something else.
Yeah. And I'll know when it's done.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter because when you transition to the non-physical, if you spent the entire life digging a hole, then that experience of reality was as good as any other, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But if you're done personally with digging that hole, then dig some other, do something else, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, dig another hole somewhere else.
Yeah.
And explore over there.
And explore.
You are provided with all the tools you need to explore whatever you need to explore.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Now, there's other explorations you can do with those same tools.
Yeah.
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 And you can take it as far as your fear will allow.
Right.
And then you're going to bump up against new fear.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
Excellent. Well, we'll have more tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. Continue this. Okay. All right. Well, is this enough for today, or does anyone have one more? One more. Excellent. Is this my good side?
Okay, I have five questions. I'll narrow it down to one.
Excellent.
Some of us have been talking about the term passion. You hear it everywhere. You hear it from self-help books, channels.
In your mind, what is the benefit of passion?
Moving to something or through something that I love.
Right.
So,
why is that beneficial?
Well, then I'm being more authentic because
and?
I am authentically love.
Right. And in a passion, in love, what are you connected with?
Source.
Right. And if you are here to flow forth source energy through you, in a passion, in love, that comes easily.
Yes, it does.
In work, in effort, in frustration, it doesn't come easily.
Right.
Right? If this is your point of being in reality, then an easy way to do that is to be find a passion.
So the question then is, a lot of us are in an effort to find our passion, which I try to help all my friends, and they're sick of me, trying to help them find their passion,
right.
which I can't.
So do. There is the downside of not being in a passion feels wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So is there any wrong anywhere in the universe?
No.
So is it wrong not to have a passion?
No.
Right. So in this not having a passion, what are you really doing?
I'm trying to fix a condition that's
one,
not
wrong.
Mine, and it's
right.
not wrong.
Exactly.
Okay.
So you're trying to alter the condition on the outside. However, in that frustration of not finding a passion, you're facing resistance and you're attracting not finding a passion.
Right.
So helping someone find a passion isn't really helping them. Because what you're
right.
doing is saying, oh, I have my passion. My passion is helping people find their passion. What's wrong with you?
Exactly.
You know? I found mine. This is fun. And in fact, if my passion is to help you find your passion, then once you find your passion, I don't really have anything to do. So let's keep searching so I have my passion.
Well, there's a lot of people looking right now, so I figure I have a big audience.
Yeah.
But narrowing it down to, so I have... don't know necessarily what my passion is. I have a lot of them. I love creative outlets,
passion.
But I'm not an artist. I have great skills with the computer and that kind of thing, and I really enjoy it. But I don't like all the time I spend staring at the screen.
Okay.
I have
so
a passion.
Passion resistance.
Yep. Then I have passion for kids and
helping
and
some
them,
resistance.
But I don't haven't done anything with it. Yeah.
Right. So, is a passion meaning the absence of resistance? Right? Do you think that once you found your passion, there'll be no more resistance?
No. I don't think it's that done, but I think it helps.
It helps.
It helps finding,
finding the
passion.
Passion is your way to figure out the resistance.
Say that again.
If you have a passion, you get to figure out the resistance. In a more narrowly defined way. So imagine Gary has a passion for poker.
Yeah.
Does that mean that he's winning every poker tournament?
No.
He's finding resistance. If he's not winning, he's feeling intense negative emotion. If he comes in second, he feels intense negative emotion. If he comes, if he's the first one out, he feels intense negative emotion. If something unlucky happens, he feels intense negative emotion. It's in that passion he gets to process the limiting beliefs that bump up against his full pursuit of that passion, right? To a higher and higher level. And so when he plays with his friends, there's no real attachment, there's no real resistance, it's easy to win, but it's not challenging. So he goes to a higher limit and a higher level and a higher level and a higher level. And he gets something more and something more and something more out of each of it. But he doesn't say, I'm not good enough to do this, I'm not good enough to do that. He says, I'm going to face a fear and I'm going to push myself through that fear to move to another level of this. Right? And in the pursuit of that passion, he processes fears around abundance and worthiness and allowing and accepting others and gets feelings of camaraderie and fun and all kinds of things out of it. Yeah. So if you have fear, the fear will stop you from even attempting a passion. Because here's how passion works. You start with an interest.
Right.
In your society, it's good to have interest, but it's bad to drop the interest. Right? Yeah. If someone goes from interest to interest to interest to interest to interest, what do you call that person? A flake.
Yeah.
Right? But those with all these interests have, you know, the best chance of finding what excites them. Right? And so they're allowing themselves to be moved. But if they feel that, oh, I should stick to one thing for my whole life, you know, then they're resisting all the other possibilities.
Right.
So you want to be easy and go with the flow and not have attachment. Now, if your passion or interest means something about who you are, right?
And
you don't do well in the beginning, what do? It's not for me. I'm no good at this.
I'm creative, but I'm not an artist.
I'm creative, but I'm not an artist, right? Okay. Do you have to be an artist to be creative?
No, because I've been very good
at
being creative.
Can you be anything other than creative? Is it possible to be anything other than creative? You are a creator. You are all creators. Everyone's a creator. You were created in the image of God. God's a creator. You're a creator.
Right.
You create your own reality. You're a creator. You're the most creative that's ever existed because you're creating your own reality that's never happened before.
Right.
It's completely unique, and to compared to any other creation, that's a good one, that's a bad one, I can never do that, never can be that good, right?
Right.
It's like creating something that's unique to you in your own art gallery that only you will ever see and worrying about what other people think.
Right.
Because they can never see your creation. Because their perception of your creation is filtered through their fears and perceptions of themselves.
So my perception that 15 people can be psychic and healing and all of that.
But you can't?
Yeah.
Right. And that's a good thing in your... Okay. Imagine in this society, if they were in this room and they said, there's 15 people in this room who have psychic abilities, who can bring forth non-physical into the physical. Mm-hmm. They would go, thank God we're not one of those nutcases, right? Now, what if we tell you that everyone is bringing forth non-physical. When you think a thought, where does that thought come from? It's a non-physical thought. You're bringing from non-physical into physical. If you think a thought and say the thought, it's creative. You're creating and bringing forth non-physical into physical. So everyone is a channeler.
Right.
If you have a thought, the thought comes from non-physical. If you bring forth that thought in writing or words or art or anything else, it's channeling that. You think it's your thought because it feels like your thought, but the thought comes from non-physical. The inspiration comes from non-physical.
And that's part of our passions, right? That's a reflection of a passion.
So the passion would just be channeling that into a more narrow focus thing that gives you a sense of bliss. You know, I found my thing, right? This is a thing. And a lot of people will say that my thing makes me feel good because I'm good at my thing, right?
Yeah.
Well, your perception that you're good at your thing is what? It's your inner self telling you have a beneficial belief. your inner self is agreeing with you. And when you say, I'm not good at my thing, your inner self is not agreeing with you. It has nothing to do with the thing. It's you're saying, I'm good or bad at that thing.
Next.
Right?
Yeah.
So I was saying, I have a limiting belief or a beneficial belief.
Right.
So I want to go towards things where I already have a beneficial belief. Not really. You want to go through all kinds of things. You want to work on the beliefs, not the things.
Beliefs, not the things.
You work on the limiting beliefs about anything, and then you'll find your thing. But if you have limiting beliefs about who you are and what you can do, mm-hmm. then you're never going to find anything because you're never going to even start.
Interest
will lead to failure. Interest, failure. The failure is a perception that you can't do something based on a limiting belief. And so it's not anything other than limiting belief. So start with the fact that you are a magnificent and limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance, and there is nothing you can't do, be, or have in this reality. Right?
Yep.
Start there, believe that, and then when you say, I can't do something, I don't like something, something's wrong, then you are saying to yourself, oh, what? I just found a limiting belief. Then you work on that limiting belief, you dial it down, and so the next time you're interested in something, that fear that limits you from moving forward, fear is based on a limiting belief, the fear comes up, the fear is triggered, pops up, activated by the conditions, right? And fear arises. And fear is your inner self telling you that you're looking at this the wrong way. You think you're being rejected, but you're being adored, right?
Okay.
You think you can't do it, but you can do it, right? And in the can't doing of something, in the frustration of not being able to do something, you suddenly meet someone who will tell you what you can do. But if you never get to that person who can tell you what you can do, or that news story, or that article, or that whatever, mm-hmm. because you're stopping yourself all the time and staying home and not doing anything.
Yeah, can't do.
Can't do, right? So it's not the thing, it's the limiting belief behind the thing.
Work on
the limiting belief, and the things will come.
Thank you.
This has been a pretty good first day. Things are going to get better.
Yes.
Things are going to get dicey. Things are going to get real.
All right. About time.
So until next time,
we are complete.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.